Sussed.
Sorted.
Shifting.
Want to be debt-free? Sorted.org.nz has the tools and guides to help me. And it's free. And this week, it is mortgages. So without further ado, I'm going to welcome back into the show Tom Hartman, who comes from Sorted. And Tom, thank you. Thank you for your time and energy.
Thanks so much for having me on again. I just love hanging out with you guys. And greetings to Shift Nation, right? Can we call it that?
Well,
can we call
I it think that? He's trademark coined the term today, Shift Nation, and I think we liked it. I think we're going with it.
Congratulations, too. I mean, I'm breaking the million. That is a nation.
Right? Well, we're trying to break the million in our bank account, and that's where we're failing at the moment. I think the best place to start this is, Mark is so right. Like, we're talking about mortgages today, and it's such a daunting word at times. I imagine there's a time when you can get to a point where people have a whole bunch of mortgages and they're like, okay, I'm living a really comfortable life. But the idea of
the comfortable life might come after the mortgage.
Right.
I mean, it is a really daunting term. In fact, it even sounds like death, right? It literally means the dead pledge, like it's this really, daunting.
We're starting real today. I like that. Let's start real, you know?
Yeah. Mortgages are, this really specific product that works in a certain way, really mysterious, and they're big and heavy things that go on for decades. But really, when it comes down to it, at the risk of, I don't want to be, seem like I'm trying to dumb stuff down or anything like that, but really, it's just a kind of a loan. How's this? Yeah, we keep it. Is that right?
Sorry about it.
We're good.
I can stay here. Yeah.
Okay. It's a style of loan.
It's a loan, basically, and you'll see a lot of the banks sell it as home loans because that's actually a good way to understand it. It's a loan you take out for your home. You can use it for land or renovations and things like that. But it's a really big fat loan that we use on properties and houses and homes.
There's so many angles to take on this one today, and I just don't even really know the best place to start. And I think that's kind of where I would like to throw it to you, because there's a lot that we have to break down and we need to break down. And I guess break down might not be the word. Learn is probably the word with this one. But when you come to mortgages and you're talking about mortgages, just throwing it to you, where's the best place to even start when you talk about these bad boys?
Well, of course, I'm going to say this. It's on Sorted because we really break it down into the building blocks of home buying. But when you're trying to understand a mortgage, basically you really need to start and understand what interest is. And really, lots of people think of interest as just, that cost of borrowing money. But actually, interest is the cost of money over time. And because you pay off a mortgage, I mean, a lot of mortgages are being priced out over 30 years right now. And over in the States, when I used to sell mortgages, we even did crazy things. did crazy things like 40 years. Imagine over 40 years. So this is, and so when interest, mortgages can seem like they're cheap money because the interest rates are really tiny. Mm-hmm. They don't seem like a lot. Okay, so let's go back to credit cards for a second. Credit cards, they're hovering around 20%. A mortgage is now hovering, say, around 7.5%, right? It's between 7 and 8 right now, depending on what kind it is. And so that's actually much cheaper money, but because it's over such long periods of time, we are talking about usually you're going to end up spending as much as you borrow, at least if it was a 20-year mortgage, on interest. So borrow $500,000, pay back $1 million, right?
Tom, can you work in smaller numbers, Tom?
Let's bring it right back, because I'd like to work, actually take out a mortgage for $100,000 and end up paying the $100,000 back and another $100,000 just in interest over many, many years. Okay, so, and that's usually on a 20-year mortgage. Mm-hmm. Now, because we're pricing them out at 30 years, if you let it go for 30 years, it's going to be even more than that. It's going to be like $150,000 just in the interest.
Okay, I know we're going to get...
My house is now on sale, guys. You would like to buy it.
We definitely have some tips that we're going to go through today around mortgages, but could I just... I actually want to start quickly. We were talking about... before we got started recording, for some of our shifters that messaged in, one of the things I was discussing was, in these times, it feels like if you're a whānau or if you're family or if you're someone wanting to buy a house, particularly if you have kids, it's now it's not we can kind of have the mortgage and we can have these other experiences. It does feel like if we go for a mortgage, we might have to, the kids might not be able to do a certain sport this year. We won't be able to go and have that holiday every 2 years. These are things that, sacrifices that people now are having to make. Before we get into the tips, what do you think people should be thinking about for the, because different people are listening to this podcast right now.
Yeah.
People probably want some questions answered around they have a mortgage and some other, we'll get to that. But if someone's listening to this now and they are really thinking about buying a home or what they should do, what are some almost, what's a walkthrough mentally or some tips that you think maybe people should think about before doing this?
Well, above all, what we want to be about is our financial well-being, right? And so it gives me a lot of joy. For example, some of our whanau from our baseball community where I live, are like when I go to visit them and they're like, oh yeah, we love our house because it's really cheap. And I can talk to them and I can tell that they've prioritized their well-being. Their house doesn't have all the bells and whistles or anything like that, but
it's theirs.
It's theirs. They're happy. The kids are happy. They're playing around. They don't miss not having every single convenience. It's good for them right now. So really what we want to do is prioritize well-being. A product like a mortgage needs to work for us. And it's the way, because we're not all walking around with $500,000 or even $100,000 in our back pockets in order to spend on a house, right? And so a mortgage is a really good product for getting people into homes, I have to say. So I'm not going to come out and say, hey, this is a really bad idea. For a lot of people, it is a really good idea because you need somewhere to live and you need the security of. And actually, for the long term, when you get to, you know, you want to step back from working in the future, in the far future, it puts you in a better place financially. So that's going to help your long-term well-being. So I don't want to say, hey, a mortgage is a bad idea, but it's a big commitment. Definitely. And you never want to get yourself to a place where you have to pick between something that gives you well-being like kids' sports and a home, right? It could be more the choice. We were talking about this before, right? It could be more the choice about, well, actually, we have a couple cars. Cars are incredibly expensive to run. Could we go down to one car, find a way to do it, give each other rides, you know, use public transportation, all that? That could be a choice. If you had to choose between like two cars and actually getting into your own home, the home is going to give you that much more well-being.
No, right? I agree. I think it's just, you know, we're gone are the days where I think this is like an incredibly life-altering lifestyle decision now. And it was before, but with the interest rates now, you know, I think it's good for people to think about that. Even some people do this in autopilot. You know, it's more like, and I know amongst Kiwis, you used to get kind of, you felt rent shamed, you know, if you say rent.
That's,
I think,
a real shame.
Things are so bad now, I don't think people feel rent shamed anymore.
And they shouldn't. Like nobody should feel that. For here, like investing and buying houses, it's like a national pastime, right? Mm-hmm. Culturally, it's a big deal, but it's almost too big a deal. If you go overseas, if you travel to Europe, like, renting is just a norm for people. It's not, you know, owning your own place is not for everyone. So we want to make sure that people tailor their decisions. And this is one of the big decisions in life. These are the ones that count. Mm-hmm. If anybody, you know, tells you that personal finance is about whether to buy coffee or not, or whether, no, it's not about that. It's about these big decisions.
Yes.
How many cars do you drive? How do you finance those? When can you buy your own home? Should you buy your own home? How much debt do you take on? How comfortable is that to repay?
You got a Ford Ranger. You can just downsize to a Corolla, can't you?
Hey, man, stop adding my business here today, brother. Stop adding my business.
We can just ride the you got a Swift.
Sign me up, man.
Hey, Tom, why is it called a mortgage? Why don't we just call it a home loan?
Well, actually,
is there a difference?
No. There's not like technically there is, but you'll see like the banks when they advertise it, very often it will be for a home loan because, and rightly so, they want us to think about what you get from borrowing, which is a home. You know, that's what this product is for. Now, unfortunately, we've had this word mortgage come into our language, and it's really, there's only really three things that are at play with a mortgage, just to simplify it down, okay? So it's how much you're borrowing, and let's talk about $100,000. It's what rate, what is that interest rate? So if it, say if it's 7%, but remember those finance guys, we talked about this last time, those finance guys count in basis points, which is like a hundredth of a percentage point. So if it's like 0.25, that's 25 basis points. That's like a big change, because every time one of those little percentages change, it means tens of thousands of dollars of difference. It's a huge thing, okay? So we need to pay attention to the rate. So amount you borrow, the rate you're borrowing at, and the term, how long it's going for. Is it set up for 20 years, 25 years, or 30 years? And it makes a huge difference on what that term ends up being. And when you're repaying a mortgage, every extra dollar that you put into it on your repayments, literally like add another $5 to your repayments, you're shaving off tens of thousands of dollars of interest on the other side. Mm-hmm. So a lot more is in our control than we realize. We've got levers. But again, it's just these three things that are really you need to think about with a mortgage.
Amount, rate, and term.
Yep. Those are the three. And when a lot more is in our control that we can alter the outcome and how much interest we're paying and how expensive it is for us and how long this thing goes on for, there's no law that says it has to go on for 30 years. In fact, the shorter it goes for, the less interest you'll pay. You can actually save. And every time we pull one of those levers, we structure it more in our favor. Okay, so if you want to think about just repaying a minimum payment on debt means that it's structured entirely in favor of the lender. It's good for them. They get a stream of payments. It's all good for them, right? But that's like defeatist if we say like this whole arrangement is good for them. Remember, we get the home. We own it right from the start, and we're paying it off little by little. And we are in control of how fast we repay and how much interest we repay. We're not entirely at the mercy of interest rates going up and down, which they do. And actually, a lot of people, this is a difficult podcast to do right now. I'm glad you guys picked it, because a lot of people are in mortgage stress because we were in one environment where money was really cheap. And then interest rates shot up very, very quickly. And, I don't need to tell all those who are in mortgage stress right now what changed and all that. But even just last month, there are 22,000 people, 22,600 borrowers who are behind on their mortgage payments. That's real mortgage stress, you know. And that's 800 more than the month before, and that's 18% more than the year before. So this is a very real topic. Yet the mortgage remains the main way that we can borrow for a home and get our families into homes and pay them off over time and improve our long-term well-being. So just a balanced view there.
Has it, sorry to ask these doom and gloom questions, but has it gone past the red line? Like, how does this get better? Like, people, if that number's only growing on a monthly basis, it's the number's growing to get into the market's getting harder. How, as a country, like, how do people see hope in this? Like,
can you see it coming up?
Needs to change? Yeah. Like, yeah, is it government? Absolutely. Is it the economy?
The economy. Yep, that's exactly right. So we're in a recession times here, and this is what it feels like.
Thank you for saying that. I feel like everyone's so hesitant to use the R word. In it, people.
Yeah, we are in it. And this is okay in the sense that cycles go like this. We go through tough times. And one thing that we can say is the future is not going to be the same. It could get worse. It could get better. But one thing, it's going to, these are waves that come and go. These are seasons that come and go. And this is just a time that we're going through right now. We know like those interest rates shot up also to contain inflation, which is even worse. And I won't get into a whole discussion about that, but inflation has been.
We need our own podcast on inflation.
But yeah, and we could do another one on
that.
We will.
I understand.
You know, the point is inflation has been coming down. It's been changing. It's been getting better already. So things are not staying the same. That's one thing that we can predict.
I don't want to throw you a hospital pass here, but obviously we have a new government in charge. And I specifically want to talk about first home buyers. Do you think they've made it easier, or are they going to make it harder for first home buyers to actually get a house?
It's
if you're allowed to answer that.
It's too soon to say. in the sense that they've already inherited a higher interest rate environment. So the short answer is we don't know yet. I'm not here to comment on government policies or anything like that, but it is fair to say we don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
If we look back through the mortgages, the three things that you put us out there. So let's break down each one of those, because I think those three steps are super important. So if we're sitting at home and we are thinking to ourselves, okay, a mortgage is something I'm willing to do. You've said amount. Can you break down amount quickly for us and just tell us kind of what you mean by amount is one of the most important things you need to be thinking about?
So when you're borrowing money, one of the risks that you run as a borrower is borrowing too much. Now, why is that a thing? It's a thing because very often we're quite optimistic. We're bulletproof, right? At the beginning, we're like, yeah, I can take down that debt. I can handle those. And very often it's sold to us on a minimum repayment, right? We're thinking about, oh yeah, let's think, how much is that going to cost me a week, a fortnight, a month or something like that? Yeah, I can do that. But actually, if you focus on actually limiting how much you're borrowing, that is one of the things in your control of making it more comfortable or less comfortable. And again, I was thinking of my friends who I walked in their house and she was like, I love this house because it's really cheap. And it's obviously they hadn't borrowed too much. So that's something within our control before you take on a mortgage.
I had a friend who owns a few houses, and he said to me when I was going to get my first mortgage, he said to me, you make and save all your money on the price that you end up buying it for. And he was like, if you can buy it for as least as possible, that means you'll get less interest built up over the years. You'll be, you know, you'll have less.
And he's so right. There's that adage, you make your money on the way in, right?
Yeah.
Because it's those choices you make right at the beginning of how much debt to take on that are really going to make the difference. I totally agree. Mm. Yeah. Great advice.
What about rate? You talk about rate. What's that about?
So rate is the amount of interest that's being charged. And we were talking about interest rates going up, and that affects mortgage rates, what's available on the market. Now, on Sorted, we've got this great mortgage calculator, and we pipe in to it all the rates that are available on the market today. So, for example, you could actually browse on our calculator of what's being offered and what difference it'll make to you. And again, these are these tiny percentage points that, you know, count in basis points of when they change, they make, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of dollars of difference of your results of how much you're going to pay over time.
So if I was looking at getting a mortgage right now, and just because I always bank with this bank, they'll probably be the person who I'd typically go to because, you know, my accounts are already there. They've got a back catalog of all the things that I've done. I could actually go to Sword and go, well, if I go with this bank, the rate isn't as good as, say, that other bank, and I should be shopping for my mortgage there.
Yeah, so what ends up happening, Mark, is our brain goes to shortcuts, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's easier, right? Mm-hmm. So we're like, yeah, I know this bank. I've been dealing with them for a long time, so I'm just going to go to them, which is fine. It's not to say don't go to your bank, but we're really big on shopping around. We're really big on shopping around. And our website, but also with the help of another website called interest.co.nz, publishes all these rates on what's on offer in the market, and it's basically how expensive is money? How is it expensive is the money you're borrowing? That's the price of money at the moment. It goes up and down, it fluctuates, but it affects your repayments.
It's a weird thing though, right? Because I changed to get my mortgage, I changed bank, but I felt like I was cheating.
Yeah, we have this loyalty.
Cheat on them, bro. They be cheating on us all damn day.
I felt like dirtier going over to the other place, but I still bank at ASB, but now I've gone to Westpac.
And I'm sure your previous bank is happy that you still bank there.
I get nervous walking in.
But this is not personal. This is business, right? You're making a very important
point for people to hear.
And when you make a choice like that to shop around and find the best deal, you're doing the best by your family. Mm-hmm. You are actually doing the best for everyone who's going to live in this home, because you are actually making it easier on yourselves, and you are directly impacting your well-being and avoiding unnecessary mortgage stress.
I think this is a really important point to make for people listening, because I assume that this is already an overwhelming topic. This is already something that people feel very heavy about going to talk to. So that kind of relationship thing, oh, you'll look after me, I guess I'm here, can actually cost people tens of thousands of dollars, or like have a huge amount. So before going into this, people should try and feel energized about taking the time to go shop, booking that extra appointment. And you're right, it is business, eh?
Yeah, and look, I'm not I'm bagging on anyone at your bank, because they are there to serve you. But also in other institutions, other lenders with a better deal for you are there to serve you as well. And you can build your relationships with them.
Love that.
So it's really...
Shop away.
Yeah.
You know what else I felt, Tom? I also felt a little, not embarrassed, but I felt quite exposed when I was going for my mortgage, because they do ask you about how much you earn. They do look at you like you're someone. But I actually, there was a time and a moment where I sat there and thought to myself, hang on a minute, I'm about to be making you a lot of money and paying extras. So like... You're
How do you
just
take
as
the
much,
power back, eh, Mark?
Yeah, you're just as much shopping for me as well. And I think the way to take the power back is doing exactly what you're saying, Thomas, is actually shopping around. You know, and I know from a friend who said to me, he goes, hey, you know when your mortgage term comes up or when you're about to refix, like that's the time. Like you've got the biceps then, because the banks want your business. Don't always think it's that way, the other way around.
Yep. So there's this imbalance of power that actually we need to take that back. We don't want to be in a place where we're just like, oh, that's the way it is, and we're just going to have to go with it. No, actually, we have levers to pull. And again, that's what we were talking about there. But we also have friends. Now, this is what I wanted to tell you guys about. Okay, if you're taking back the power, that imbalance is really hard. But there are these guys called mortgage brokers. Now, mortgage brokers are actually financial advisors who specialize in mortgages. And these guys, what they do, and there are a lot of them around the country now. Actually, 10 years ago, there weren't so many. Now there's lots. And think of these guys as your personal shoppers, okay? Okay.
Should we trust them?
They're your personal shoppers. Well, you can see what they come back with.
Yes.
Right? And you can shop around for them, too. Okay, you're not hooked into working with one mortgage broker. You can actually shop around and find one who communicates with well with you, who gets what you're after, who understands you, doesn't talk over your head, and you can ask them lots of questions. But basically, they go out and they look at all the different lenders, or a handful of lenders. They probably won't look at all of them, but they'll look at a handful of lenders and come back to you with the best deals that they find out there. Okay, so you've actually...
They're free too, typically too, aren't they, Tom?
Yeah.
Like you don't have to pay a mortgage broker to work for you, because they get paid on percentage or something from the banks.
That's exactly right. Right. So when I was working for the banks over in the States, my customers were mortgage brokers. And so we were paying them in order to bring in
business.
That's right. Bring in borrowers and to give them the best deal. And there's a whole way that they get paid. A mortgage broker is in your corner and should be able to find you the best deal. And if they don't, if there's another one that finds you a better deal, then you can go with them. Okay. So again, there's all this shopping around. There's a way of taking back our power and making really good financial decisions in this space.
Shopping around is a great segue into this one, because I would imagine a lot of people are like me as well. When you're looking to buy your first house or your first home, you're so foreign to the concepts of all these things that are going on. And you just kind of think that face value is how things work out. It's 100%. It's not the case. And when it comes to mortgages, and even with banks and lendings, I had the idea that mortgages were all created equally, but that's not the case, is it?
No. Things are not what they seem. Yeah, and if it all seems that's one of the myths that we need to bust here. That all of these products, because mortgage is a product, Kiwi Saver funds are products, that they're all the same. And that's a myth. They're actually quite different. Now, it's hard to sort of unpack how they're different and what, but that's another reason why we build these tools on Sorted, so you can actually see what the impact is going to be to you when you're making mortgage repayments over all that time. Like, how much of a difference is this going to make if you get a mortgage, say that's at 6.5%, then at 7%, or even 7.2 or 7.5, how big a difference is that? It's actually huge. It's actually going to impact your repayments every week, fortnight, or month, whichever one you choose.
You know what, Tom, the thing I find fascinating, and some people don't know it, and people who are looking to get a mortgage, like there's so many different ways of stacking or playing with your mortgage, right? Like you don't have to have your full amount sitting in one account and having to pay that off over a term at a certain rate. Like you could split your mortgage and have it at a different rate. Yep. And do a whole lot of different things with it. And I think, I don't know if the banks were the ones that suggested that for me or whether it was our mortgage broker, but I'd want to go back to the broker for a sec because I think if anyone was sitting there right now and was thinking, okay, this is the there's houses, it's time to get on the ladder, I think going to Sorted is one great step, but you bringing the mortgage broker into this is another really good step because they can find different ways of getting money for you, right? Whether it be a loan from your parents that sit off to the side or gifted money. They could find a whole lot of different things to help get your amount up should you need that. If that's the thing that you're kind of lacking in, they can help you with different ways of putting your mortgage out. So it might be one's on a certain rate but only for a year and then the rest is for 4 years and that's for, you know, that's at a much higher rate interest rate.
Yeah, like, this is actually, Mark, where it gets really complicated because it's going to sound like, hey, there's tons of different, and there are tons of different ways you can configure it. But let's go back to what we're trying to achieve here. We are trying to borrow money, establish a home, and pay as least interest as possible. There's different ways of doing that. And we're talking about those levers, make sure you're not borrowing too much, make sure you have the best rate. And then there's that term part too, which you want to make sure is right for you, is not too far out there. The longer it is, the more expensive this thing gets, right? And so all these strategies are about containing your costs and actually trying to get through this thing with the least money going out the door so that we can conserve our well-being for all the other things that we want to do in life.
When I was searching for mine, and maybe Mark, maybe you're in a similar boat to me, but with the mortgage broker itself, I guess I was looking for a hustler and I think I found one. Mm. And that's really what I was looking for. I spoke to a couple of people, but it felt like they were ticking every box, but it wasn't necessarily helping me get forward. And I found a mortgage broker who came across as like a hustler, the way that they were working and he was moving. But that was the one thing that got me across the line.
Yeah, I love a hustler too, Brooke.
So how was that? Was that a good thing?
It was great that I got a house now. So
important to really get it done for you, right?
Yeah, but it felt like I was doing the wrong thing. Once again, like with the banks, like I was shopping around once again to try and find the right person or the right fit or my mold. Mm. Yeah. But you just have to take the time to go and find what works for you and to be able to make it work.
Yeah, and when you find that person, you can see if they're really doing a good job for you. And if they are, if it's a good fit, then you can really get some great things done, right?
Oh, I dapped him up for it. He was one of the people, though, who did actually, he talked about having the mortgage and the terms, but they were separated. Why I still don't really understand why I've got them split at the bank, but it sounded like a good idea. Why do people split it? Why? That's the personal question here.
Okay, so this is why I wanted to bring us back to what is it we're trying to achieve here, right? What's the outcome? You want to pay less interest. It's that simple. Okay, so what happens when you fix a rate? We want two things. We want those repayments to be predictable and steady, right? Because there are two things that can happen. Rates that are variable, they change all the time, and that's actually kind of hard to work with because that means your repayments will change all the time as well. Or rates that are fixed over long periods of time, up to, say, 5 years here. So predictable payments for the next 5 years, it sounds good, right? Because you know what it's going to be, and you can plan your life around it. Now, when we fix them, there's usually some restrictions about paying more, repaying that bit a bit more in order to reduce. Again, our tools show that even if you add just a little bit to your repayments, you can actually take down your mortgage that much quicker. Mm-hmm. Okay, so but when you fix a rate, there's limits to how much you can do that. They're actually much higher than people understand. You could actually, with some lenders, pay as much as 20% more to your repayments without having any difficulties at all. And a lot of people don't know that. So you need to check with your lender there. But the reason for splitting it is that when your repayments are fixed, when you make a deal with the bank that you're going to keep that same repayment over five years or something like that, in order to be able to change those repayments for at least part of it and take down part of your mortgage that much quicker, basically they split it. We'll put part of it on a variable rate and part of it on a fixed rate. So the fixed rate part is really predictable. The variable rate part, you can slam it with extra money and bring it down and actually save lots. So it really depends when you guys split your mortgage on whether you're actually doing that. On that variable part, the strategy is usually to actually take it down that much quicker.
Okay.
Do you actually take that on?
So that's a lot.
No, it's good.
I don't know if my explanation was great, but again, on our tool on Sorted, you can actually see what you're doing because you can split your mortgage on the calculator, and then you can see, is this actually helping me to pay less in interest or not? That is the key question to keep in mind.
I think it may become easier if I explain from where I come from with how I've split mine. So, Brooke, I've got a colossal chunk right now that is fixed, right? And it means that I know exactly how much money I have to pay each month to pay that bit off.
Like, that doesn't change. I'm trying to understand too.
Predictability.
Then I have a certain amount, a smaller amount of that full mortgage, a smaller amount of doesn't belong in that lot, right? It doesn't belong as a part of that. It's slightly different. It's on a floating rate. So it goes up and down, up and down. So what I'm trying to do with that smaller amount, I have no restrictions to how much money I can put on that. So if I have a good month, I might put heaps on it and I don't get penalized from the bank. But if I have a bad month, I know that I'm going to have to pay whatever it is, wherever the interest rate has taken it, I'm going to have to follow it and pay at least that amount. So it just stops me getting a hand slap. It stops me having to pay a penalty for having extra cash that I might be able to throw in my mortgage. And that's how I stack my mortgage up. One that I don't have to care about and know that it's going to go on forever and don't even look at. And then a smaller one that I can actually have a good fight with, spar with through that month, depending on how much money I make.
So I love this because a lot of times incomes are not steady, right? They go up and down, up and down. And when you have those good months, every time you're able to put more than what the interest rate requires, you are taking down that mortgage that much.
Oh, you
quicker.
Love it, Tom. Great. I should be married to you. My wife hates it. She goes, we could be going on holiday with that money. I'm like, we'll get to holidays, but this is my chance about to throw it at. But that's that lifestyle thing, right, that you were talking about.
Yeah.
You want to try and work a system out of those, those three things that we're thinking about. You've got to try and work it so that you can still have your lifestyle and it suits how you get paid.
Yeah. Precisely. But every time you're able to do that much more, you're restructuring the whole thing more in your favor and less in the favor of the lender. So you made a deal and that's cool, but you can bring it down that much quicker. And I've come across a lot of mortgage brokers and even lenders who are actually actively helping their borrowers to do exactly that, to actually finish up quicker because they can see that their customers are happier. They can see that their well-being is going up and they want to, most of the people who are selling products actually want to make the world a better place through their products. And even mortgages count. They're helping people get into homes, but you will find people who will help you finish up.
I think we had one of our questions that we'd sent through to ask was the idea of how to beat the mortgage. And that's kind of, I feel like we're in that stage now, right? Like these are,
the conversations. I didn't even have one and I feel like I'm in the fight.
Well, your example is great. I love it. Just splitting it. And then on that part of your mortgage where the interest rate is going up and down, when you have those better months, slamming that much harder is actually winning. That's what winning looks like. But using a tool like ours is how you keep score. Like sometimes you can't tell if you're winning. How long is this thing going to take? And so like we're actually charting out on a burn down chart, exactly how much shorter it's becoming by doing exactly that. It'd be great, Mark. Sometime you could run the numbers and say, because I did it that way, how much actually did I save in interest?
Tools that Sorted.
I'm telling you, it's tens of thousands of dollars every time you do that. Have a good month and slam it towards that. And again, it's about our well-being, right? It's about the well-being of ourselves and those we live with and those we care about who we're close to. And those choices are all about, but the more we're able to do it that way, the more our future well-being is really benefit.
Can we just unpack that a little bit? For our shifters, what are the tools that are on sorted.org to help with the mortgage journey?
So we've got really good guides when people are just getting started, because the big thing about getting a mortgage, as you guys know, is really getting that deposit together. Okay, when we're borrowing for a home, we don't borrow the whole amount, right? Usually a typical mortgage is you'd come in with 20% and then borrow the 80% from the bank. That's probably an optimal balance. And then you know, if things happen, you've got some buffer there. You've got some money in the house. Some people will borrow even more and put down even less. There's some programs that help people get on the housing ladder where they just put 5% down and borrow 95%. But that's a lot riskier. That's a lot.
But people can get on like that.
Yep. And wow. This is really important to know that if there are programs to help people get on the housing ladder, but again, they have to make sure that this fits what they need and their well-being too, because borrowing too much, we know that can get you overextended and actually might not. So we really, you know, you need to run the numbers, basically. So on Sorted, we've got this mortgage calculator. It shows all the rates that are available in the market, but we also have this suite of guides, which are really get you started. How to use KiwiSaver for a first home, how to save up a deposit, how to shop around for a mortgage, how much can I borrow? So these are all the titles of guides that we have on there that are really about financing a home. They're not all about the, you know, ins and outs of home buying, how it all works, whether something's a freehold or not. But it's all about the financing, the mortgage part, managing that mortgage. And when you're getting ready to refinance, to remortgage your home and get on a new rate, you know, we've got a guide for that too. So we've really tried to line up a lot of things to get people towards making really informed decisions.
And it's free, can I just say, and you guys, like, you're not backed by anyone, like this is a free, I think that's important, because I think when we, like even the conversations around mortgage brokers, like you're always working, hang on a minute, what's in it for, why are you doing this? You know, we're a bit untrusty, especially when it comes to house buying. But
and I think that's healthy, that's all right, like you want to ask people, well, how do you make money out of this? You know, what is the deal? But it's also needs to be a little bit more like an adult to adult sort of thing. Okay, you get something and I get something out of it and we're making a deal. But with Sorted, the greatest thing is, and I love not having to sell anything.
Yeah.
Because this is a taxpayer-funded service that's there in order to help people make better long-term decisions with their money.
Come on.
This is perfect timing for me, because I got a text this morning. It said, this is from my bank, refix your home loan rate before you automatically move to floating rate.
Ooh.
It's the perfect time to have this conversation.
See what they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's why you need to be on Sorted.
Okay.
Be on Sorted. I mean, listen
to
your banks.
If you get something like that and you're in that suspicious place, you're like, hang on a second, is this one is it these days you have to ask, is it for real? Right, so you might as well talk to them directly. But two, and say, oh, is that a good deal for me or not? And it used to be hard to tell, but these days you can actually run the numbers, and actually your bank will help you run the numbers actually, and you'll be able to see whether it's a good deal or not. Remember what they want as a lender. What they want is a steady stream of repayments over time, right? That's what makes the money. They're not interested in your house like you are. Like, they basically want a predictable stream of money. That's why they look at how much of a deposit you have. What's your income like? Is it steady? Will you be able to make these repayments, right? But after that, once you're a customer and can do that, then it's really about, well, is this better for me or isn't it? And they can help you see.
Absolutely. We have a little bit more time on the show. We can come back to anything, but I did want to just take an opportunity to ask some quick questions from the shifters.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got to get through quite a few, so we can almost treat this like a power round, okay? And obviously, Tom, we also know if you can't answer something, you'll say, so it's all good.
I will, yeah.
First question, this is from OG Munchkin. What a name. please explore lending surrounding kit set and rebuilt homes. Is there any facado on that?
Yeah, so in general, many lenders will not lend on a home that is not, that can be transported or moved like that. Like it needs to be stationary in the ground. So then it gets a little bit...
So it gets harder to lend on those styles of homes.
So...
Why? They're so cheap to make and they're great. The house always wins, right?
They are. No, it's not. It's actually not about
the house
that.
Being the bank.
If you think about it, it's a completely different product. I notice sometimes they treat them a little even more like vehicles because they're like those tiny houses and things like that.
Okay.
Or there are other ways you can borrow in order to pay for those than a mortgage.
Okay. Cool. Next question from
a traditional mortgage. Yeah.
Jamelia, from Jamelia, outline the difference between a home loan scheme and a first home loan grant, please.
Yeah, happy to do that. So these are two different programs that were that come through Kanga Ora, and you can go to their website to learn more. First home loan scheme is the one that we touched on before, yep. where it's a government program that allows you to have a lower deposit for 5% and borrow up to 95%. So that gets you on the housing ladder sooner. You are borrowing more, so it is riskier. So you want to make sure this is right for you, but it allows people to not have to wait as long and to get as high of a deposit, and they're able to get. And then
there's a bunch of prereqs that come with that one too, though, right?
Yep. It's not available for everyone. Yep. There are income levels. There used to be house price levels. So you need to check your eligibility. The grant is when you have been in KiwiSaver at least 3 years, and you can get a grant from the government in order to help you get on that housing ladder. And so you can get up to $5,000 if you're buying an existing home, but up to $10,000 if you're building a new home. And these are grants that the government wants to build new homes. We have a housing shortage here, and so these grants are there to help people. And that's per person, per borrower. So, for example, if you're there with your partner, you could get up to $20,000 if you're building a new home if you've been in KiwiSaver, say, for 5 years.
Wow.
Okay, so it's worth looking into these programs. I'm really glad we were able to cover that.
Love that. Chloe Rebati said, and he just got the text, so this will be a quick one. How to calculate whether fixed or floating is better? So would you go to your bank and talk? Would you use the tools from Sorted as well?
Yep.
Can be a mix.
Again, I always want to bring us back to what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to make this whole process cheaper for us over time. So if splitting your mortgage will do that, has you paying less in interest, and again, you can see it on our calculator or other mortgage calculators out there, then it's thumbs up. If it's not doing that, for example, on that variable rate, if you're just paying that variable rate all the time and not flowing extra money towards it, which is the strategy in order to pay less to interest, if you're not able to do that, then maybe splitting is not the thing for you. The objective is to pay less in interest. If we are, great, and finish the mortgage earlier. The more we can do that, the better.
Okay, great. These are really good. There's only a few more. I know this is a loaded question. Nikita asked, how to pay more money on principal instead of paying crazy amounts in interest?
So the thing about a mortgage is we have steady payments over many decades. Pretty much, right? They can fluctuate a bit by interest rate and all that. But what happens in a mortgage, and you can see this on our calculator, is at the beginning of the mortgage, when you're starting off, most of that money is going towards interest and not towards principal, which is the amount you borrow to repay it. Mm. Towards the end of the mortgage, you are paying much more towards principal and bringing it right down, and much less towards interest. So that's the way mortgages work. That's the way they amortize over time. To her question, how to pay less in interest, it's every time you make a repayment and you make that extra repayment, it goes towards interest and retires that amount over time much more quickly. And you'll be able to see how much you save if you look on our tool, for example, how much you save in interest because you're flowing that extra money right at it. Think of it like a fire hose. You're just like shooting at it and putting out that fire there over time. You wanna put it out as soon as possible. It's going to take decades, but you want to get started and you want that extra water going towards it.
Perfect. Couple more because I love the shifters. Jesse Mo 82 said, what are the benefits of using the equity from current mortgage to invest in another property for rent?
So
we got the question, shifters. Come on.
So equity is how much of your home that you actually own. So, for example, when you come in, let's say your home is $100,000 and you've come in with $20,000 and borrowed $80,000. That $20,000 is the amount that you own, right? And so as you're repaying, you own more and more and more of this house. And say at a certain point, it's going to be 50-50, right? So, but at the same time, the value of your house will hopefully go up over time, more or less. And that also increases the amount that you own because it's become worth more. Now, at a certain point, you can borrow against that and you can use that to buy another home. OK, Okay, so it can be a rental property or a home that you want to move into and then rent out the other one. And so that's the strategy that people use in order to get multiple properties and to have rental properties. Most landlords in this country, they have one other property. And that is sort of an income stream for them. And many times it's people who have finished working and, you know, that supports them in retirement. So there's not that many people who have tons of properties around here. Most landlords have, you know, just one extra one. But that's pretty much the strategy. Build equity, borrow against that equity, and buy another one.
So instead of turning up to buy this new house, you know, how you got your first house, you turned up with 20 grand of that 100 grand, and then, you know, you slowly built up that equity and you've made more money on it. Instead of turning up to buy the second house as a rental, you're actually turning up with equity as an amount rather than a 20 grand or a, you know, that you'd be bringing in for the first, like you did with the first one.
Yep, precisely. And so the more equity you have, the more leverage you can get, the more you can borrow and do. It's basically the more options you have. I don't want to say that that's always a great idea.
Yeah, true.
Because people overextend themselves that way. They take on more debt. Yeah, things change, their circumstances change, relationships break down, all sorts of things can happen, and they can get themselves into trouble. So it's not the best thing for everyone, but that's the way that works.
Carrying on the theme from the last podcast, Jordan would like to know whether they get half of the second rental as well if you break up. You don't have to answer that, Tom.
Fellas, remember about relationship property, right? So when you're a couple, you can build that much more wealth together. Whether you do or not is up to you, but you can, right? Because there's more than one of you. And so during that time, you know, whatever wealth you built up is relationship property that gets split up.
You nailed that, man. That was really good answers. Yeah, that was good. A little power.
Awesome.
Power segment from the Shifters.
Thank you so much, Tom. I don't think I feel like we've covered most things that we wanted to cover in this first podcast. Was there anything else you want to give us? Something to leave with? A tip that we should all know?
Let's see, a tip that we should all know. Yeah, I really try to simplify it to those three levers. You know, we have a lot more. We have a lot more power than we think we have. So again, it's that amount, limiting how much you're borrowing, the rate, trying to find the cheapest money out there in the deals that you're making, and the term. Watch the term. If it gets too long, that fire keeps going on. For that much longer and becomes that much more difficult to put out. And so really those are the levers that you can change in order to tip it and restructure the entire mortgage experience more in your favor as opposed to just in the favor of the lender. Okay?
Us, take back that power.
Go Shift Nation.
Yes. I'll say, this wasn't a conversation I thought I'd be as interested in because I don't have a mortgage. But what I've learned today, some of the other big things is this is one of the big decisions in life.
Yeah.
So it's good to think that through, maybe even where your relationship's at, where your life's at. You know, you can't forecast everything. We're not fortune tellers, but maybe forecast what that's going to look like because that will affect this big decision and this process.
Yeah.
You've kept coming back to, you know, let's come back to this is going to be yours. This is your home. And I love that. I like the idea of, like, you be encouraged to shop, be encouraged to, you know, if you don't like the energy on the other end of the line, it's okay to say goodbye and try again another day. You know, like we have more power than maybe we think. So that's been a huge takeout for me. So awesome, awesome chat. Thank you.
Yep. And you have more support than you think as well. Mm. You know, we talked about those government programs, but we also talked about financial advisors who specialize in mortgages, you know, mortgage brokers. And find a good one is in your corner, can find you the best deal, can give you great advice of how to take this mortgage down, how to have the best experience of it in order so that you can prioritize the well-being of your fauna.
And let's not forget, let's not forget too, the biggest advocates to help us out there sorted. So you're allowed to say that, Tom. You're allowed to say that. Go there, it's free, and all these tools are there to be able to.
I'm going
to
be leveraging this podcast of mine. I just want to let you know. I would say, hey, listen, bank, I can do a little promo on the podcast. We got a million followers now, you know, we knocked that down 10,000. No, I'm kidding. Thank you, Tom.
Tom, amazing. Thanks
and
so much.
Sorted. Love you guys.
Sorted. Shifting.
Want to be debt free? Sorted.org.nz has the tools and guides to help me. And it's free.